V'hoya eikev tishmeun Eit ha-mishpatim ha-eile ushmartem va'asitem otam V'shamar Hashem Elokecha l'cha Et ha-brit v'et ha-chesed Asher nishba la'avotecha OU Israel presents
Come in. Welcome.
Shalom and welcome to another issue of Torah Tidbits Audio. I'm your host Phil Chernofsky, and this show is for Parshat Ekev. Recording and first broadcast, Yom Chamishi, Thursday, the 18th day of Menachem Av, which happens to be the 18th day of August as well, in the year 5771, that's in the 58th century. From creation, and in what's called in the secular world the 21st century, the year 2011. Let's start, as we usually do, with Psalm 130, Tehillim Kuf Lamed. Shir hama'alot mima'amakim kraticha Adonai. Adonai shima v'koli tehiena aznecha kashuvot l'kol tachanunai. Im avonot tishmor yah Adonai mi ya'amod, ki imcha hasalicha lema'an tivarei. Kiviti Adonai kivata nafshi, v'lidvaro hocholti. Nafshi l'Adonai mi shomerim laboker, shomerim laboker. Yachel Yisrael el Adonai, ki im Adonai hachesed v'harbe imo fedut. V'hu yifde et Yisrael mikol avonotav. Achenu kol beit Yisrael, hanetunim batzara uvashivya, haomedim bein bayam uvein bayabasha, hamakom yirachem aleihem, viyotziyem mitzara lirvacha, umeafela laora, umishibud legeula, hashta ba'agala uvizman kariv, vinomar amen. Parshat Ekev, a particularly beautiful parsha, if it's fair to say things like that. I was at a bar mitzvah of a cousin's son this morning at the Kotel, followed by a breakfast at Cafe in Mamila. And what was said about Ekev, partially by me and partially by another cousin, is that it is a very Eretz Yisrael focused Sedra. Just as an example, we have a deal that God is making with the people of Israel. It's a deal that has been made several times in the Torah and has several more times to be made. And it's a simple deal. It's if you keep the mitzvot, then things will be good. And if you don't keep the mitzvot, things won't be good. Now, in this particular Sedra, we have the second passage of the Shema, the second passage that's written in a mezuzah parchment that is put on a doorpost, the second parsha of the four parshiot that are written in Tefillin, a very basic concept in Judaism. And it's the deal. V'haya im shamoa tishmeu el mitzvotai asher anochi mitzave etchem hayom. It will be that if you hearken to my commandments that I command you today, to love God, to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, then I shall provide rain for your land in its proper time, the early and the late rains, that you may gather in your grain, your wine, and your oil. I shall provide grass in your fields for your cattle, and you will eat, and you will be satisfied. That's the promise. Keep the mitzvot, and we will have plentiful bounty in this land. Notice that it's in this land. I don't think that God makes this same deal with Jews who live elsewhere. That's a different kind of accounting between God and the people of Israel. But the deal here centers in this land. The negative side is warned here. If you will turn away from God and embrace other religions and worship Him in an improper way, then the heavens will be locked, and you will not get your rainfall, and you will be kicked off of this land. Now, you could say this is not the individual that is being addressed here, but the people of Israel. But we have this sense of community, and we're all part of it. And I believe the deal works both for the individual Jew as well as for the nation as a whole, and each individual being a part of that nation. But I'm referring to earlier where Moshe Rabbeinu says to the people, Kol ha-mitzvah asher anochi mitzavecha hayom tishmerun la'asot. The entire commandment that I command you today, you shall observe to perform, so that you may live and increase and come and possess the land that Hashem swore to your forefathers. I've told this story before, but this is the verse. Summer 1969, so we're talking 42 years ago. I was a madrich of a group of high school students to Israel, I being the veteran of a previous trip in 1962. That's not why I was there, madrich. It was an educational kind of program. And Shabbat afternoon of Nachamu, which was last week, but at Mincha you read the beginning of the following week, Sedra, which is Akev, which is this week, Sedra. So I consider this to be 42 years ago. The boy that I had asked to give a Devar Torah at Sudah Shlishit told me right before that he forgot and he's not prepared, and it fell on me to give a Devar Torah. We had just read the beginning of Akev, as I just mentioned, and I opened up the Siddur to the Torah reading portion, and I read it over. This verse that I just recited before, Kol HaMitzvah Asher Anochi Mitzavcha Hayom, jumped out of the page and smacked me in the head. Moshe Rabbeinu is summarizing the entire purpose of the mitzvot which we have, to which observant Jews are committed to perform, is for the purpose of living and coming to the land of Israel. True, I say this all the time, the Torah was given in Sinai, outside of the boundaries of Israel, to make the point saying no matter where you live, you must keep mitzvot. But the Torah over and over again says that the venue that God prefers and wants the Jewish people to live the life of Torah in, pardon my position of my prepositions, is the land of Israel. The Ramban goes as far as saying all mitzvot have a special observance in the land of Israel, not just those mitzvot that are connected to the land or to agriculture. All mitzvot. I was struck, I don't know why it didn't hit me in previous years, But in the first portion of Akev, we find the command to say Birkat HaMazon. Birkat HaMazon is all over the world. A Jew who finds himself in any corner, in any place in this world, when he eats a satisfying meal, or even a meager meal with bread, is required, in the first case by Torah law, in the second case by rabbinic law, to thank God and acknowledge Him as the source of food with Birkat HaMazon. What you would expect to find in the Torah is, and you shall eat and be satisfied, and you shall bless Hashem your God for the food that you have eaten. But that's not what the Torah says, and it's not what we quote in Birkat HaMazon. The Torah says, V'achalta v'savata, you will eat and you will be satisfied, uveirachta et Hashem Elokecha, and bless Hashem your God for the good land that He gave you. Oh, wait a minute. If you're sitting in Teaneck, New Jersey, or in Muncie, New York, or in Borough Park in Brooklyn, or anywhere else in the world, and you eat a satisfying meal, you are required to bless God for the land which He has given us. What's the story here? So we take a further analysis of Birkat HaMazon, of the benching. And we find that the first blessing of the benching, of Birkat HaMazon, does not mention the land, does not mention Torah, does not mention mitzvot, does not mention the Jewish people. The first blessing, the first part of Birkat HaMazon, speaks of God as the sustainer of all living creatures. Blessed are you, Hashem our God, King of the universe, who in His goodness feeds the whole world with grace, kindness, and compassion, and gives food to all living things, for His kindness is forever. Because of His continual great goodness, we have never lacked food, nor may we ever lack food for the sake of His great name. For He is God who feeds and sustains all, does good to all, and prepares food for all creatures He has created. Blessed are you, Hashem, who feeds all. Now there are a few things we have to speak about here. First of all, the absence of any reference to Judaism, to Torah, to mitzvot, or to Jews. This is talking about all living creatures. And that's the first level of appreciation and acknowledgement to God for the food that we eat. And that does not really match the verse in the Torah that I quoted before of Uveirachta et Hashem Elokecha al ha'aretz hatova. I have to add, not quite parenthetically, because it's an important point, that when you read the English translation of this first blessing, or if you know Hebrew well enough to catch it from the Hebrew itself, you should be immediately struck by the problem of understanding and explaining poverty and starvation. Because this blessing speaks of God's continual great goodness, because of which we have never lacked food. And yet there are people who do lack food. I don't have I don't feel like I have the ability to answer this well. I will say we're talking about an ideal situation. We're talking about a situation which is less than ideal, that I don't think it's proper to blame God for. We have to blame ourselves for. God provides sufficient food in this world for everybody. We, human beings, Jews and all human beings fail still to properly distribute and organize the food of this world to make sure that nobody ever has to go hungry. And it is not something that we challenge God for, because he says right back at us that we have to get our priorities straight and take care that there should not be poor people who are not properly provided for. I don't know if that did any justice to the question, but that's the best I could do at this moment. The point, getting back to it, is that if the mitzvah, the command, the verse in the Torah speaks of blessing God for the land, this is not at all reflected in the first blessing. Come to the second blessing, and that's where you see the essence of the fulfillment of the command in the verse. Nodelecha, we thank you, Hashem our God, for having granted us a heritage to our ancestors. I'm sorry, for having granted as a heritage to our ancestors a desirable, good, and spacious land, for bringing us out from Egypt, freeing us from the house of slavery, for your covenant which you sealed in our flesh, referring to the Brit Milah, for your Torah which you have taught us, for your laws which you have made known to us, for the life, grace, and kindness you have bestowed upon us, and for the food by which you continually feed and sustain us, every day, every season, every hour. That's already addressing the verse with the command to say Birkat HaMazon, and still the absence of reference to food in that acknowledgement is noteworthy. The Al HaKol, and for all this, Hashem, we thank you and bless you. May your name be blessed continually by the mouth of all that lives, forever in all times, as it is written, V'achalta v'savata, uveirachta at Hashem Elokecha al ha'aretz hatova asher natan lach. So, it's the second bracha of Birkat HaMazon that reflects more accurately the concept of being satisfied and thanking God for the land of Israel. We still need to understand that, and I would like to suggest the following. Physical eating, basic necessity of life, and it can be very animal-like. One stuffs his face the way animals eat greedily until they're satiated at a trough of grazing, of ripping apart the carcass of an animal in the case of predators, a purely physical act. For us in Judaism, eating is much, much more than a physical act. Judaism has a spiritual component to it, and that is manifest by the mitzvot we must adhere to in bringing bread to the table, by the blessings which we make and the ritual washing, and all of the details in how one is supposed to eat and what to avoid on the negative side. But I'm getting a little ahead of myself. When we came out of Egypt, we were introduced to a whole new dimension of the concept of eating. Until then, it was physical food that sustained us. In the wilderness, we were given the man even before we were given the Torah, the manna. And it was a totally different kind of sustenance. It was a divine, heavenly sustenance. which the Torah tells us in Parshat Ekev, this week's Torah reading, was given to us to see if we can remain faithful to God. You don't really think in terms of food being that, but this time it was, because the food, the manna fell daily. We were to collect it and eat it and not leave over for the next day, except on Friday when a double measure fell and we had provided for Shabbat. And this, if you go from the purely physical eating to this more spiritual dimension, is still not the whole story. Those two aspects, as different as they are combined within the first bracha of Birkat HaMazon, because according to our tradition, the first bracha is attributed to Moshe Rabbeinu in thanks to God for the man. Very different from the purely physical description of food that I have been using. But it isn't until the second bracha that we see the real blend of the physical and the spiritual in such a basic function as eating, through all of the various details that I've been describing until now. And that's really the essence of thank you. It is thank you, God, for the food that I am eating, but more importantly, for the context of the way that we eat the food, the Jewish context, the Torah context, the mitzvah context. And then the third blessing introduces Jerusalem and the Beit HaMikdash, and then afterwards there are additions of various types to Birkat HaMazon. But the essence can go back to the verse. The verse says you will eat and be satisfied and bless God for the land. And a whole bunch of other things are implied within that blessing that together make up Birkat HaMazon in this special context. I will be right back with more Torah Tidbits audio for Parshat Ekev. Stay tuned. I'm assuming many people know that theme music from Jeopardy. I just like it, so it's starting the second half of the show. The first half of the show, by the way, began with, I hope some of you guessed that, one of the intro songs to, intro music to Superman, Last Son of Krypton, which is a revival of old radio in our time, on PendantAudio.com, a lovely site for people who would like to get a flavor of old radio with the quality of today, and it's a very fun kind of thing, and I just downloaded an episode and took the music from the beginning. I also read the first verse of Ekev. I usually read the first verse, sometimes two, of a Sedra. In Ekev, I would like to read more of it, because I just find it extremely thrilling and beautiful in the description that Moshe Rabbeinu gives of the land into which he's taking the people. Before that, just to give it in a perspective, he says to the people, as I mentioned earlier, all of the mitzvah which I am commanding you this day you shall do in order to live and multiply and come into the land and conquer it and settle it, that God has promised. And remember all of the the road that brought you here, the 40 years of wandering in order to test you, to see if in your heart you would stay with God and keep his mitzvot or not. And he gave you the mun, and lo al alechem levado yechiyah ha'adam, not by bread alone does man live, but by that which comes from God's mouth a person lives. The miracles that occurred, your clothes grew without wearing out, and your shoes didn't wear out in the 40 years, and you shall know in your heart, as God chastises, as a father will chastise his son, so Hashem your God chastises you. You shall observe the commandments of Hashem your God to go in his ways and fear him. And again, I expand why. I'll read it first and then translate. This is the reason that you have to keep mitzvot, and it's really the reason for the existence of the Jewish people. Ki Hashem Elokecha Miviacha El Eretz Tova Eretz Nachalei Moyim Ayanot Utahomot Yotzeim Babika Uvahor. Excuse me. For Hashem your God is bringing you to a good land, a land with streams of water, of springs and underground water coming forth in valleys and mountains. Eretz chita useora v'gefen uteina v'rimon, Eretz zeit shemen udevash, a land of wheat, barley, grape, fig, and pomegranate, a land of oil, olives, and date honey, or honey-bearing dates. This is the famous verse that has the seven species that the land of Israel is described with which this land of Israel is described, and from which we have a halachic basis of many of the rules of brachot. For example, the five fruits in this verse, grapes, figs, pomegranates, olives, and dates, get a special after bracha, the longer after bracha, which mentions the land. In other words, when you eat an orange, you make a borei pri ha'etz, and afterwards you make a borei nefashot. But when you eat grapes or raisins or figs, pomegranates, etc., you make the same borei pri ha'etz before the fruit, but after the fruit is an abridged version, a condensed version of a full birkat hamazon known as bracha me'ein shalosh, and we say, we mention the land, and it much more conforms to the command verse, which we were talking about before, of acknowledging and blessing God for the land, not just for the food. The Torah continues, Eretz asher lo v'miskenut tochal ba lechem lo techsar kol ba Eretz asher avoneha varzel a land where you will eat bread without poverty, you will lack nothing there, a land whose stones are iron and from whose mountains you shall mine copper. Torah continues, V'ochalta v'savata uveirachta et Hashem Elokecha al ha'aretz hatova asher natan lach. You will eat, and you will be satisfied, and bless Hashem your God for the good land that he gave you. These psukim that finish the first portion of Akev are just a beautiful description of the land of Israel, and it infuses a person with a longing for that life, and thank God, many of us have been privileged to realize that longing and that dream and to live in Eretz Yisrael. I go back to my story from summer of 69. I spoke to the kids about that pasuk and what it did to me. It made my decision final. Years before, I was 21 at the time. I would say at least since I'm 15, I acknowledge now that I began to think on my own from around age 15. I can't vouch for myself before then. I'm sure I had ideas of my own, but my own thinking process and my own internal decision mechanism began roughly at age 15. So at 21, until 21, I had been active in Bnei Akiva and continued after that, and then at that time got involved with NCSY, but that's not part of the story, and came from a very Zionistically oriented home, and knew that I wanted to live in Eretz Yisrael, but it wasn't finalized and firmed up in my mind until that date in summer 69, when, as I say, the pasuk jumped off of the page and smacked me between the eyes. At that point, I knew that my future was to be in the land of Israel. It took me 12 years until I actually came on Aliyah from that moment. But that's the moment that I attribute my internal firm decision to come on Aliyah. I don't wish people should delay themselves 12 years from the time they make that kind of decision. I would hope that in many cases the decision is made earlier and the coming on Aliyah is made younger in life. And I can't complain. I came at age 33 and served in the army. At my time, that was still being done by guys in their 30s. I'm very glad I did. And that's a whole other story. But that's when it happened for me, that verse, that realization that the bottom line is this is where God wants us to be. I've said this many times also. I go back to the first mention of this in the prophecy by God to Moshe Rabbeinu, his first prophecy at the burning bush. God says to Moshe Rabbeinu, I heard the cries of the people in Egypt, the Jewish people, and I will go down into that land to bring them out, to bring them to a good and expansive land, a land flowing with milk and honey, ... In a single sentence, God does not make it two sentences. He says, I will take them out to bring them to Eretz Yisrael. That establishes at the outset the reason for nationhood. The reason we exist as a people is to live a way of God in His path by the Torah in Eretz Yisrael all the time. That we were out of Eretz Yisrael because of exile, which continues for many Jews to this day. It has been because of our iniquity, our sins, various and sundry contributory modes, but it is our fault. God warned us over and over and over again. We belong in Eretz Yisrael. And that applies to Jews today, as I have said many, many times over the years. So that's part of Parshat Ekev. Before we continue, I would like to play a clip. I think it is from a Regesh album. The words come from the intro to calling up people to the Torah on Shabbat and Yom Tov. V'yazor, v'yogen, v'yoshia, l'chol hachosim bo, v'nomar amen. May He help, shield, and save all who seek refuge in Him, and let us say amen. The portion then continues, hakol havu goldel leilokenu, give honor to God, and kavod, honor to the Torah, and call the Kohen to the Aliyah. But the first part, V'yazor, V'yogain, V'yoshia, L'chol hachosim bo, V'nomar, Amen, Regesh, enjoy it, and then we'll continue about Parshat Ekev. not only do we have the second passage of the Shema in Parshat Ekev, and not only do we have the command for Birkat HaMazon, the after-meal grace, as it's called sometimes, we have from Birkat HaMazon, mushroomed from the rabbinic perspective, all brachot. According to the Torah, if you have a full, satisfying meal, you're required to acknowledge and thank God for it. According to rabbinic law, if you take a sip of water, you must preface that, precede that, with a blessing for water. It doesn't have to be a whole glass of water. It does not have to be a satisfying drink of water. A sip requires a bracha. A crumb requires a bracha before it. That is rabbinic law. Don't have time now to go into it, but there are a lot of aspects of brachot that all, as I describe, mushroom from the essential Torah requirement of Birkat HaMazon into a whole body of Hilchot Brachot. In addition to that, we have a command in this Parsha to pray every day. And this topic is particularly interesting because Rambam Maimonides counts prayer as a Torah law, but the source, chapter and verse, is more vague than usual. It does not say in the Torah, thou shalt pray. It says, you shall serve God with your heart, with all of your heart. Then the Rambam rhetorically asks, and what is service of the heart? Answer, prayer. Ezohi tefila avodah shebalev, tefila. So we have a two-step kind of presentation. The Torah requires us to serve God with all of our heart. That is defined by rabbinic pronouncement, we'll say, as prayer. The Rambam's conclusion is that the Torah requires prayer daily. We're not yet talking about three times a day, and we're not talking about specific texts and specific times of the day. We're talking about the concept of requiring prayer. Ramban, Nachmanides, interestingly, does not count prayer among the 613 mitzvot of the Torah. He says prayer is a rabbinic enactment, a rabbinic requirement and command. As it says in the Torah, serve God with all of your heart. And what does that mean? It means prayer. But according to Ramban, that verse and that idea of defining service of the heart as prayer, that is inspired by the Torah, but required rabbinically. There might be some practical applications to this distinction, but we shouldn't get caught up in that at this moment. I would rather give a certain rationale to Nachmanides, knocking it off the list of 613, and yet valuing it very much, compared with Rambam counting it on the list, even though the language is on the vague side. So there are two things to say, and with this we should be finishing the show for this week. The Nachmanides approach can say like this: you don't need God to command prayer. You open up the Torah, you see Abraham's prayers, Isaac and Jacob and the mothers and Moshe Rabbeinu, how prayer fits into our way of life, and realize that it is a valuable tool and a valuable act of prayer. You don't need to be told to say it. You need to be given the opportunity, and we are. The other way of looking at it is a straightforward command, and you shall pray, takes the heart out of it. And heart is so much a part of prayer, and must be a part of prayer, that having the more vague presentation, and you shall serve God with all of your heart, explains the essence of prayer. Because it is Avodah Shebalev. Without kavanah, without the feeling in the heart, prayer is meaningless. On that note, let me wish you a Shabbat Shalom, a meaningful Torah reading of Akev, and all that it involves. And, Lehishtameah.